Hello, thank you for tuning in today. My name is Richard Massey, and I preach for the Windmill Church of Christ, located 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas. Glad to have you with us today. We're going to be in the book of Numbers, and we're going to be talking about the ordinance of the red heifer. The ordinance of the red heifer. And it was a part of the old law of Moses. And we're going to read about it, and we're going to apply it to today. In the book of Numbers, chapter 19, beginning with verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. And you shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth from without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger, and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, her skin and her flesh and her blood, with her dung shall he burn. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet, and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water. And afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the even. And he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in water, and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until the even. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer, and lay them up without the camp in a place, and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel. For, here's the reason, for a water of separation, it is a purification for sin. And he that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. And it shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that sojourneth among them for a statute forever." As we read those specific details, isn't that something, how specific God is? It was very clear. They were to bring a heifer. The gender, of course, is a female. It was to have the right color. It was to be red. A heifer is a virgin cow that's never had a baby. And then it was to die, and where it was to die, and where the blood was to be placed, where it was to be burned, and it was to be burned on the outside of the camp. And then it says, it has all these details, and then it says what it was for. It was for separation. It was for purification. Now I want to ask you, as we read these details of the ordinance of the red heifer, which of these were optional? Was the color of the heifer optional? Could you have brought a white heifer or a black heifer? Well, of course not. You couldn't change that. You couldn't change what was to be done with her blood. You were not to change what the purpose of the ashes were. And 2 things stand out that we need to notice. First of all, there was the death of the heifer, and then there is the purification. What was this about? It was about blood being shed for the purification of sin. And these are the outstanding elements, and they're very important. And so if someone wanted to be purified for sin, this was a very particular important exercise. To have purification for sin required obedience. And so that's one of the primary things in our salvation. You have to obey God. There had to be a death, and that death was Jesus Christ died. And so this heifer, and the specifics about her, is another example of God having a type or a shadow of Jesus Christ. Now this was very serious. Notice in Numbers 19 and verse 13, whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead, and purifieth not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among Israel, because the water of separation, which was not sprinkled upon him, he shall be unclean, and his uncleanness is yet upon him. This is the law. When a man dieth in a tent, all that come into the tent and all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And every open vessel which hath not covering bound upon it is unclean. And whosoever toucheth one that is slain with a sword in the open fields, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. And for an unclean person, they shall take the ashes of the burnt heifer of purification for sin, and running water shall be put thereunto into the vessel. And a clean person shall take the hyssop and dip it in the water, and sprinkle it upon the tent and upon all the vessels and upon the persons that were there, and upon him that toucheth the bone, or one slain, or one dead, or a grave, and the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the 3rd day, and on the 7th day, and on the 7th day he shall purify himself, and wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and shall be clean at even. But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation, because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord, and the water of separation hath not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean. So we see the seriousness. This is very important. You needed that red heifer. You needed the ashes of the red heifer. You needed the water. You needed the hyssop. You need to be sprinkled at the right time. Now, how does that work? Does that work scientifically? Is that a scientific remedy? No, it doesn't have anything to do with science. You know, the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross and his blood being shed, there's nothing scientific about that. It's God's will. It's God's ordinance. It's God's command. Jesus had to die on the cross, and his blood had to be shed. Now, how do we contact that blood? Well, by the water of baptism. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also should walk in newness of life. Now the Bible tells us it doesn't have anything to do with science. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning verse 23 through 31 says, God has chosen the foolish things in this world to confound the wise. There's nothing scientific about blood and water cleansing our sins, or the ashes of a red heifer. It's not science. It's God's will. It's God's commands. And we must obey God's commands. And it works because it's God's plan. Just obey God's plan. Just do what God says. It's like Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman was a captain in the Syrian army. Naaman had leprosy. He had it bad. He went to the man of God, Elisha, to find out how he could be healed. Elisha told him, sent word to him, to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Well, Naaman got furious over that. He said, I've got better rivers back home than that. But he had to go dip once, twice, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times. And we find out that on the 7th time, when he came out of that water, his flesh had become as a child. And was that science? Was science involved in the cleansing of Naaman's leprosy? Well, of course not. It was faith and trust in God's commands. It was obedience to the T. He couldn't dip 4 times or 5 times. He had to dip 7 times. And that's what he did. And he overcame his anger. He went and dipped, and he was cleansed. Nothing scientific about that. It's simply God's will. Now, other lepers were cleansed in other ways in the Bible. That was the only time that someone dipped in the Jordan River 7 times for the cleansing of their leprosy. What about Jericho and the Battle of Jericho? In Joshua 6 and 7, the walls fell down, did they not? Well, did they fall down because the people shouted? Did the walls fall down because of the trumpets and the shout? Did the wall fall down because they marched around it and it was somehow that disturbed the foundations? Now, was it scientific? No, it wasn't scientific. It was faith in God and obedience to God's will. God cleansed Naaman's leprosy, and God brought the walls of Jericho down, and it is God that forgives our sins and cleanses our sins. And so what man needs to do is he needs to trust God, believe God, obey God, have faith. God never intended for these things to be by science, laws of science, not by the laws of physics. What about the Passover lamb found in beginning in Exodus chapter 12? Was it the blood that caused the firstborn not to die? Some scientific connection there? No. You had to have a lamb or a kid from the flocks. You had to get him on the 10th day and put him up until the 14th day. He could not have a blemish. It had to be a male. It had to be a male of the first year. There's all these details that God required. And then on the 14th day, in the evening, had to be in the evening. It couldn't be in the morning. Couldn't be at the noon hour. The Bible says that you kill the Passover lamb in the evening and you put his blood upon the doorpost and upon the mantle. Not on the place where you put your feet, but over your head. And the Passover lamb was to be without blemish, and the blood was to be applied with the hyssop. There was a specific place. And so it is with God's commands. God expects man to hear his commandments, listen, believe, and then obey his commandments. And so it is with all of the sacrifices that God required. The Day of Atonement, there were many details and instructions for all of the sacrifices. There was the washing, there was the bathing, there was the blood. All of these were acts of obedience that God requires. God requires this. So what does this do for us now under the New Testament of Jesus Christ? Well, let's go to the book of Hebrews and let us notice these things in the book of Hebrews. First of all, the law was a shadow of things to come. Notice in Hebrews chapter 8, Verse 1, now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty of the heavens. That's Jesus Christ. Now Jesus is our high priest. In the beginning, Aaron was the high priest. Aaron was on the earth, but now we have a better high priest, Jesus Christ. He's in the heavens. Notice in Hebrews 8 and 2, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. This is a different tabernacle now. The church is now the tabernacle. God pitched it, not man. Man pitched that first tabernacle that Moses made. He says in Hebrews 8 and 3, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices which wherefore it is of necessity that this man, Jesus, have somewhat also to offer. And so we see a parallel here between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament had a tabernacle. It was a physical tabernacle. We have one now. It's the church. They had a high priest on the earth. We've got a high priest in heaven. They had the blood of animals. We have the blood of Jesus Christ. And so the first covenant was replaced by the second covenant. That's what the connection is with us today on the ordinance of the red heifer. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the ordinance of the red heifer. For if that first covenant, verse 7, Hebrews 8 and 7, for if that first covenant had been faultless, you know, if the blood of the red heifer and the ashes of the red heifer could cure our sins, then should no place have been for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord. This is a quote from Isaiah. I will make a new covenant. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. And so what does the ordinance of the red heifer have to do with us now? Well, it is a shadow of things to come. Now we have the death of Christ, and he has brought in a new covenant. Look at Hebrews 9, and beginning in verse number 8. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not made manifest while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. What was that first tabernacle? Verse 9, Hebrews 9 and 9, which was a figure, which was a parallel for the time then present in which was offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. That couldn't suffice to remove the sins of people, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings. There's the washings. They were to put the ashes of the red heifer in water, and carnal ordinances imposed upon them until the time of the Reformation. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, watch this. Now we're in Hebrews 9 and 13. We're talking about the ordinance of the red heifer. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling to the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? What is the significance of the red heifer? It is a type of Christ. It is a type of Christ. And so the animal blood was replaced by Jesus' blood. Aaron's high priesthood was replaced by Jesus being our high priest. The Old Testament tabernacle was replaced by the church. the shadow was replaced by the real, by the true. And the way to have a relationship with God is still requires our obedience. They had to obey. And so we have to obey as well. Now I want to read one more passage with you as we are coming a little down to just a few moments left. Hebrews 13, beginning in verse number 11. Hebrews 13, beginning. We're talking about the blood of the red heifer, the ordinance of the red heifer. And notice here in Hebrews 13, 11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Did you know that the red heifer was burned outside of the camp? And Jesus was put to death on the cross outside of the city of Jerusalem. It says, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so the unity of the Bible can be seen in the sacrifices of the Old Testament pointing to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. How powerful, how amazing, how wonderful. The red heifer, mysterious in the Old Testament, but brought to a clear picture in the New Testament. It was for sanctifying. It was for purification. That was God's way of forgiveness, not ours. And his way is perfect. His way does not need altering. What we need to do is we need to obey his way. We need to believe it and follow it and have full confidence in it. In the Old Testament, they were to get the red heifer. They were to slay her and put her blood on the tabernacle. They were to burn her outside the camp and put her ashes in water and wash, and they would be cleansed of their impurities. That was God's way. Now we have Jesus Christ who has died upon the cross, and we are baptized into Christ. That's God's way. It's not man's way. Mark 16 and 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That means you'll be purified of your sins. It's God's system, not ours. We can't change it. They couldn't change it back then, and we cannot change it today. Let's believe in God. Let's trust in his way and always abide in his word. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We're glad to be with you today as we have studied the ordinance of the red heifer from Numbers chapter 19. And let's remember that it was a type of Christ. And as she was dead and her ashes purified, so Jesus died and his blood purifies us. It's a great and wonderful picture that God has given us. Thank you for tuning in today. May God bless you. May God keep you close by his side as you study his will. We hope to see you next time.